This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. Again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program so that you can get in touch with me. The website does contain a weekly meditation that you might be interested in, and you can re-listen to the program there. You might want to contact me to leave prayer requests or comments on the program, and so if you would like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in, from time to time you'll need my mailing address or my website address, so you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to begin looking, or continue to look, at Acts 21 as Paul's making his journey into Jerusalem. And you'll remember how that last time we discussed the issue of whether Paul had become all things to all people and had become a Jew to the Jews in order to win them, or whether he had been willing to bow to social pressure in order to keep from offending the Jews in the Jerusalem area, those that had been saved apparently out of the Pharisaic system. So we talked about that and really could not conclude one way or the other whether what he did was in the mind of the Lord or whether it was contrary to some of the things that he had taught. But we did conclude that Paul loved the Lord and he was doing his best to see his own countrymen reached with the Gospels. But what is interesting as we look at the end of this chapter is the way in which the Jews use the crowds to control the political system. Right now we're having great unrest in Egypt and in two other Arab countries, but it particularly seems to be Egypt that the news media are zeroing in on. They've been our allies, and so there's always some question as to how much the United States has, how much culpability the United States has in terms of the oppression that seems to be present in the government of that country. But nevertheless, without knowing what is right and what is wrong, you can see the power of crowds. Now in Egypt they're using, or were using, the internet to stir up the crowds. They're trying to reach people with their message, and this would have been the people who are demonstrating against the government, and the government has now closed down the internet in order to try to alleviate some of the problem, some of the unrest. How it's going to all play out, I do not know, but mobs scare me. I have seen mobs in action. I remember during the demonstrations having to do with the Vietnam War, when there were mobs on the University of Iowa campus, and I was there watching them, and it's like mobs take on a life of their own. But people that know how to use mobs know how to use them in order to control political situations. It isn't a reasoned approach to the situation. It's a out of control approach, but they manage to use the mob to their own end. And so when we see the Lord, he comes into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of an ass, on Palm Sunday, and there's a great crowd that welcomes him. But likely that same crowd was stirred up by the chief priests and Pharisees to cry away with him about a week later. And so that's what the Jews are doing here. They must have been masters at doing that, because we see that they were going to try to destroy Paul and have him killed by stirring up this mob against him. Now, we often talk about majority rule, and in our democratic republic we believe in majority rule, but we don't believe in anarchy. And that's what we have here when they stir up the mob. When that is done, when you begin to see a mob being stirred up, my advice to you is run the other way. No good is going to come of it. I know that there's been oppressive regimes that have been overthrown, but what the mob has done often is just as wicked and as bad as what they are demonstrating against. Mob control always is a scary thing. So in this particular case, we come down to verse 27, and it says now, Acts 21 and verse 27, "Now when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, seeing him," that is Paul, "in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him." Wasn't there anybody in that crowd who thought for themselves? They were crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." Now that apparently was not true, but it didn't make any difference whether it was true or not. When they said it, when they were stirring up the mob, the mob believed it. Now, the thing that's interesting about people who are able to stir up a mob is that normally they have some truth to what they say, but the truth is somewhat changed from the real facts. In other words, it's not the whole truth and nothing but the truth, because Paul was teaching that the law did not save. Paul was teaching that we are saved by grace and not by keeping the law. And so they have taken that and said that he has teaches all men everywhere against the people. He didn't teach against the law. He said the law was beneficial. The law in Romans chapter 3 was given that every mouth might be stopped and all the world might become guilty before God. So he teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place. And it was as though by trying to show how the law convicts us of sin and trying to show how the law had the element of grace in it, but that Christ fulfilled the law and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, in trying to do that, it was as though he was trying to destroy something that they didn't really even practice themselves. So they were using a partial truth, I suppose that's the way to put it, using a partial truth to try to get the people to destroy and to stand against Paul. So he says they have brought Greeks into this temple and they've defiled this holy place, for they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him in the city, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And of course, that's one reason why in our country, before we find someone guilty, we have a trial by our peers, so that if something is supposed and it's not true, hopefully that truth will come out in the trial. But there was no trial here. "And all the city was disturbed, and the people ran together, seized Paul, and dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut." Now, as you look at this, it's incredibly fascinating to me to see how rabble-rousers were managed to use this crowd to accomplish what they wanted accomplished. People are like sheep. They go astray and they are easily led astray. Isn't that what it says in Isaiah 53? All we like sheep have gone astray. And the story, I probably told it here before, but there's a story told about a young fellow who was trying to learn addition and subtraction in a country school, and the teacher sat down with him and said, "Johnny, if there are 4 sheep inside this pen," he had learned addition fine. He could do 1 and 1 makes 2 and 2 and 2 makes 4, but he couldn't do subtraction. So she said, "If there are 4 sheep in this pen, and there's a hole in the pen, and one of the sheep goes through that hole, how many are on the inside and how many are on the outside?" And she, of course, thought he would visualize in his mind 1 sheep going through the hole, and he would say 3 on the inside and 1 on the outside. But he said, "No, there'll be 4 on the outside and none on the inside." And she says, "Johnny, you don't understand subtraction." And he says, "Teacher, you don't understand sheep, because if one goes through the fence, the others follow. All we like sheep have gone astray." I look at that when it comes to our day. How many things do we believe religiously? How many things do we believe politically because of charismatic people who are able to stir up the mind of the crowd, and the crowd is not able to sit down and sort things out for themselves, and they respond emotionally rather than logically to the charismatic voice of people who are trying to just stir up trouble in some cases. So we're like sheep as well, but thank God we were lost sheep. And the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we read about the Lord Jesus figuratively leaving 99 sheep in the wilderness, or going to find that one sheep that was lost, so that, because that the lost sheep is the one that's important to him, and he has found those of us who are saved. We were like that one lost sheep. We weren't the 99 that needed no salvation. We're the one that needed to be found, and he's found us, and we thank the Lord for it. So we can be sheep in a bad way. That is, we can be sheep that are led astray by charismatic people who are anarchists, or we can be sheep who are following the Good Shepherd, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's funny to me, because as I look at the crowd, it seems like some in that crowd should have been able to think for themselves. And there's nothing mentioned about people praying before they get involved in this activity. And everybody seems so sure that they are right. This is just simply all about control. The Jews wanted to control the people and use the crowd to control Paul. And so, you know, we look at this situation and realize that Satan is the master crowd controller. He's the one who takes the multitudes on that broad and crowded way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And it takes the work of the Holy Spirit. It takes conviction of sin for us to find the Lord and to enter that narrow way that leads to life, which we read, few there be that find it. And I hope today we're not in a crowd that's being led astray, who is being rebellious, who is being self-serving, who is unthinking and unpraying with regard to our relationship with the Lord. And I hope that religion isn't being used to control us. I hope that religion as such has not become a system that we are serving, but that in fact we're serving the Lord Jesus, the one that we love and that we have a relationship, a trusting relationship with through faith in what he has told us, faith in him because he is trustworthy. So the city was disturbed, and the people ran together and seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. Now, why would they kill him? Probably they didn't like being reminded of what they had done to the Lord. This is probably some of the same people that were involved in the crucifixion of the Lord. And so as you read the rest of the story, the Roman soldiers have to come and save Paul from destruction at the hands of this crowd. And then as we go on in this chapter, we'll find out that this gives Paul an opportunity to speak to the people in their own language, and he used the culture that he understood in order to try to reach these people that, even though they tried to destroy him, it was his desire to see them saved. Isn't that good? Even though they wanted to destroy him, it was his desire to use this for good in order that they might be saved. And so today, the Lord still is saving. There's still opportunity to repent and believe. Don't be controlled by the masses, the crowd that's headed to destruction. Trust in the Lord Jesus. Be one of the few that steps outside this kind of situation and sees value in the Lord Jesus. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program, upon our listeners, and upon all that has been of thyself. We thank thee for thy love. We commit ourselves into thy care in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.